The New Testament Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. What does this have to do with the sacrificial lamb? Verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, on the basis of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Mercy, referring to everything in chapters 1 through 11, the Greek is a plural, the many different forms of mercy. The previous chapter ended with the statement, God has imprisoned all in disobedience so that he may be merciful to all. The body. The Greek concept of the body includes physical, mental, and emotional. Yes, we become a sacrifice as Jesus became a sacrifice, although we do not have to die physically. But God definitely wants us. And to be acceptable, in Greek or Roman usage, meant trying to please others. Now, what does reasonable mean? Verse 1 ends with the phrase, which is your reasonable act of worship? Which is, that is, we offer ourselves while still alive. And your worship? All other religions offer up something else. As followers of Jesus, we offer ourselves. And it's reasonable. It is thoughtful. It allows us to discern God's will. And it is worship or service, mainly our worship to God, which is much more than singing songs. John 16:2, Jesus said, those who kill you will think that by doing so, they are offering worship to God. Well, what does this have to do with the limbic system? Verse 2, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Right. Be not conformed. This is a negative present tense imperative, which means to stop being conformed. And transformed, a positive present imperative, which means to keep on being transformed. And this is a kind of renewal. The Greek term anakinosis, again, new process. Being renewed is an ongoing process. And it enables us to discern, to figure out what God wants from us, his discernible desires. To do this may require developing logical thinking skills. Anyway, the Greek term reasonable is logikos, which gives us our English word logical. It's logical. The verse was introduced with the word therefore. It's also thoughtful, enabling us to discern God's will, but it's metaphorical, that is, our worship is like a sacrifice, and spiritual, that is, we dedicate ourselves to serve God, and purposeful, we're seeking to please Him, and it is a human thing. We do not sacrifice illogical animals. Does this have anything to do with the World Banking Center? All right, what is this age? Paul did not say, be not conformed to the world. He said, be not conformed to the age. The age is marked by amorality, there is no right or wrong, or immorality, do whatever you wish, or at another extreme, asceticism, not allowing yourself any pleasure. It includes political parties, revolts, and even warfare. Definitely, it's a system of finances leading to possessions through investments and all kinds of philosophies, including Stoicism with good advice and Marxism, which normally leads to poverty. The age includes theories of origins, such as evolutionism, or various age theories for the earth. This age is marked by many religions, ideologies, and economic theories. You probably hold one of each. And for others, mainly entertainment, sports, or hobbies. And on the level of destruction, processed foods and social media addiction. We are transformed by a process of renewal. One is conformed to the age by processing messages which come from outside, but transformed by messages received inside from the Spirit of God. Renewal, then, is a mental and behavioral change, guided by Scripture, especially Jesus' example and his promises. Otherwise, through gifts of prophecy, such as pastoral counsel and messages shared between Christians, and through fellowship, that is, sharing with one another in small groups. All of it guided by the Holy Spirit, who reveals to us insight and wisdom. And, of course, our many experiences, which teach us the consequences of our choices. Well, what is God's will? The word thelema means basically desire. Theologians like to distinguish God's secret will from his revealed will. Clearly, the Mosaic laws, statutes, and judgments reveal God's will or desire. These include his moral laws or behavioral standards, his civil law, that is, enforcement and punishment, and religious law, all forms of offerings, rituals, and personal purity. And then God's universal will is that all should hear the gospel and repent. Then for each of us, he provides guidance. Of course, whom we should marry, what career we should pursue, and what opportunities we should take. And then there is his ecclesial will, given to us in the apostolic epistles with instructions for how to live in community. I suppose we all at times are wondering, should we go this way or that way or another way? How do we discern God's will? Standard advice is first, offer yourself as a living sacrifice. Then God's will become clear. So, ask God for clarity and willingness on our part, and expect an invitation or opportunity to serve. In a major choice, consult with wise counselors, such as your parents and spiritual friends. You may also ask God for some unusual form of confirmation. If it requires finance, ask God to provide the finance or other forms of help. Then try to take action and walk through open doors. At the same time, we are not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. Verse 3, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone amongst you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Well, what grace was given to Paul? Well, to be an apostle of Jesus the Messiah. Thinking includes, of course, thoughts as well as opinions and attitudes. To think more highly means to imagine that we deserve fame or fortune. We ought to think, for God has purposes for each one of us. What is the measure of faith? Continuing, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Well, sober judgment means mature, stable, thoughtful. Since this is given to each one of us, we should try and fail or succeed and continue serving. A measure, the Greek term is metron, refers to something that is shared or assigned. And faith has its usual meaning of faithful service requirement assigned by God the Holy Spirit. In other words, retranslating, think carefully about this as mature Christians. God has assigned a special gift to each one amongst you, and he expects you to be faithful to him in how you serve other people. Assigned means the measure, or metron in a Greek, and the gift is grace, such as given to Paul. The term here is charisma, and we are to prove faithful, the Greek term pistis. How many arms does an octopus have? Verse 4. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. Function, that is, something that needs to be done. To each one, this is a shared life, which enables churches to reproduce, and we are all equal members. Each one of us is necessary, and one another, meaning others, need our service. So, every church should hold some kind of a job fair, so that each one can find our place. How to do so? Well, we first tell the Lord that we are willing to fit in to our local fellowship, church, or body. Doing so, we expect God to open up opportunities for us, and when he does, we agree to serve for a limited time, so that we may observe how others respond to us, how they benefit from us, and noting which forms of service give us the most joy. That will be our charisma. So we listen to others' confirmations and advice. You may also ask, which Bible characters appeal to me the most? And of course, we ask our church leaders to put us to work. My first work in the church was teaching little children. Verse 6, we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Well, we do. We have gifts. Each one of us does. The Greek term here is charisma, meaning a supernatural ability. But there are different kinds. There's no one gift that all of us must have, other than everlasting life. Remember, everything from grace is an undeserved favor, and it is given to us. We neither earned it, nor do we work it up. So, I affirm, every baptized, faithful Christian has a charisma gift by which to serve others. These gifts are listed in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter chapter 4. Returning to verse 6, there is a gift called prophecy in proportion to faith, that is, for which we are responsible. And there is ministry, well, whatever it is, do it. 1 Corinthians 14:3 reads, whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. The teacher in teaching is a form of prophecy. The encourager in encouragement, encouraging others is a form of prophecy. The giver in sincerity or honesty, giving is a form of ministry. The leader in diligence, leading is a form of ministry, and the compassionate in cheerfulness. Showing mercy is a form of ministry. Prophecy is basically speaking truth. 1 Corinthians 14:3, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. No need to make predictions. Ministry is any form of practical help to others. Well, for next time, please read the remainder of chapter 12 and come with your observations and queries.